Welcome to a special sports presentation of WCLU. Today, we continue a long tradition here on the airwaves of WCLU with local youth baseball. And now, with all the action from the diamond at Jackie Browning Park, we send you live alongside John Brown. Here's Reed Hoffman.
Our next matchup is Mariners versus the Reds. We're going to go through starting lineups. We're going to start with the Reds, who ended up getting a win over the Cubs Monday, with a final score of 5-2. Batting first will be Reamer. We have that there. Batting second will be Evan Cunningham. Batting third will be Lane Thompson. Fifth will be Cade Pritchard. Fourth, fifth will be Zach Powell. Sixth will be Britton Foster. Seventh will be Luke Huffman. Eighth will be Lincoln Elmore. Ninth will be Daniel Huffman. Tenth will be Ryder Smith. And finally, 11th will be – what is that name? I'm sorry.
I believe you pronounce his name Raythian.
Raythian. All right. Up next here for the mayor and head coach of the Reds is Coach Warren Cunningham. Head coach for the Mariners is Jonathan Ross. His assistant coaches are Jeff Bishop and J.P. Ross. Batting first is Ethan Ross, who plays shortstop. Batting second is Landon Elkins. Third is Sawyer Bishop. Fourth is James Harden. Fifth, Jacob Ramey. Sixth, Parker Wallace. Seventh, Jacoby Briggs. Eighth, Austin Jannigan. Ninth, Quay Cottrell. 10th, Jasper Pendleton. And finally, 11th is Harry Judd. Should be a really fun matchup as meeting at the mound just to kind of talk it over. Our pitchers for today, Landon Elkins will pitch for the Mariners, and Lane Thompson will get the start for the Reds. We talked to Lane after last game where he played first base. And it was Evan Cunningham who was pitching. This time he'll be behind home plate as the catcher, and Reamer, who was the catcher last time, will be at first base. So a bit of a triangle swap there.
Yeah, just a little movement. Nothing major, though.
No, nothing too major. They're still trying to fix up the field. We were slated for a 6:45 start, and still just trying to fix up the field, make sure it is in good condition.
So we've seen a little bit of the Reds. We know they like to run the base path aggressively. They stole plenty of times in their game Monday. We haven't gotten to see anything from the Mariners, though. But one thing that I will say about the Mariners is, in terms of size, they are much bigger than the other teams we've seen so far.
Yeah, we watched them in warm-up. We were looking at, I believe it was Sawyer Bishop, who we pointed out exactly. He is huge. He is massive. He's tall. And he's playing first base tonight, as he should be with that frame. He shouldn't miss any catches.
Yeah.
Within reach, for sure. They definitely all should be in his reach. We see Chris Jennings out there fixing up the field. He just does such a great job with everything here at this complex. It's again, just such a beautiful, beautiful complex. We recommend you to check it out. Barron County Parks and Rec here at near Jackie Browning. It's a bit cloudy, a little overcast now after the rain.
Yeah, luckily it's cooled down. The rain cooled it down a little bit. It was a little hot out here before. Hopefully what we don't get is the sun coming out directly again and then it heating up all that moisture and it gets real muggy in it,
absolutely.
Here at the ballpark.
That'd be very, very unfortunate. It looks like the Reds will bat first as – we see their number one guy, Reamer, come out, who we also talked to. I would almost imagine that another reason why he's not playing behind on player, excuse me, that's Evan Cunningham, but Reamer is slated to bat first. I would imagine that the reason that he is not playing catcher is he talked about his nagging thumb injury, and he kind of went down a little bit in the first game versus the Cubs with a thumb injury, like just in the coach asked, is it your thumb again? Yes, it was Drew Thompson, I believe.
Yeah, it seems to be something he's been dealing with. It probably is a good idea to get him out from behind home plate just because of how much responsibility you have behind home plate, and you just don't and this is not a hit to Reamer at all, but you don't want someone back there who can't be back there at 100%.
And he played well.
He did play well.
He played really, really well. You just don't want that to happen. You want it to stay that way where he is, again, healthy. And he's still going to be getting the ball just about every time it's hitting to the infield.
Yeah.
So, at first. So, it's not like the ball's not going to be coming to him anymore. Looks like we're getting ready to start as we see Coach Cunningham for the Reds talking up his team and Coach Jonathan Ross talking up his, just getting them ready to play some baseball. They're probably, with it being so wet, it's probably not going to be too much stealing.
No, you wouldn't think so. You would think they're probably going to be a little more conservative. It's going to be a little harder to get down the base paths. But you never know. They could just decide to, you know, psych them out, and they're just going to run anyways.
Yeah, absolutely. You could see that, but I would imagine that with the Reds, with their smaller team, like we talked about the Mariners having a bigger team, it might not be an advantage for this game. Maybe not.
It may not.
Because with the rain – now, there is a double standard with that. With the rain, it could prevent you from stealing any better. And so now the Mariners might not be able to steal as much. Now, with the Reds, they might not be able to steal as much, which could be a really big hurt to them.
Yeah. And another thing, though, the ball, anytime the ball hits the dirt, it's going to get slick. Because we know the dirt has become mud. It's going to cake onto the ball. That's going to make it a little harder to throw. If the Reds have thought through that, they may try and push it even more than they did in their first game just to see how the Mariners can deal with it. Because if the ball gets slick and they try and throw it, maybe they make a bad throw, it goes into the outfield, and now you've stolen two bases instead of one.
Yep, absolutely. Once again, heading to our second of three games today is Chris Jennings and his crew will head off the field, and we'll start playing ball. Landon Elkins is the pitcher for the Mariners. James Harden is behind home plate. Our next game coming up after the Braves dominant 8-0 win will be Braves and Marlins. Talked to head coach Michael Seltzer. He was telling me they hadn't beat them all year. So
the Marlins must be the real deal because the Braves looked really good in that game.
He looked at the Marlins. He said he looks at the Marlins as the best team by far. So it should be really interesting to see what kind of game plan they go into with it. And with them playing today, is it going to be really difficult? Or are they going to be a little more winded? Maybe.
Yeah, it may be tougher because they've got to come back and play another game. But luckily in baseball, it's not one of those sports where at the end of the game, you know, you're just worn out. Usually you've got a little bit more energy left in you.
Yep.
So maybe the last game, considering, you know, they didn't have to play a full game. They started in the second. It ended up getting rained out in, what, the fourth. So, you know, they only played two innings. Maybe that's more of just a warm-up for them. So they'll be more ready today.
Yeah, absolutely. It really could be a warm-up. Coach Thompson walking past us to third, and Warren Cunningham at first. Reamer is in the batter's box. We'll get this game started. Elkins delivers, swung on there and fouled off there by Reamer. He really liked that. It looked like he felt confident.
He liked that first pitch.
He slowed down, it felt like there. He just slowed down and pitched and just swung on. Went foul, but really great contact. Elkins delivers a pitch. Swung on. Wow.
It was good contact. It may have been a little high, but he got some good contact on it. If he was a little earlier on his swing, that would have been a solid line drive into the outfield.
Reamer's making great contact so far. That was beautifully hit, and it went down. It went past the net that they have hung up. Really great contact. He's making contact every time. The count is 0-2, but Reamer just keeps making contact off of Elkins.
Yeah. if he can keep this contact up, you know, usually you foul tip, and then you're able to get that solid hit on it.
Yeah. Just wears the pitcher down. Especially with it being his first batter he's seen, it's going to be a bit of a confidence. It might be a bit of a confidence breaker.
Yeah.
But if he can get the strikeout here, it would help. Pitch is low. Reamer doesn't swing. 1-2. Elkins delivers a pitch. Reamer pops one, and it goes over the third baseman, Ramey. And it'll be a single. What a way to start the ball game.
That was a good
Reamer.
Hit. That was nearly a good play by the third baseman, though. It just went barely over his glove. Almost had the a leaping grab.
That was Jacob Ramey's glove who went over. Really, really great contact there from Reamer. He finally gets contact. Up next here is Evan Cunningham, who pitched a really, really solid game. Last game, he averaged a strikeout, and it's a wild throw to first. Reamer thought about running. He finally comes back. I think he realized how slick that field was.
Yeah, he started to take off, and he slipped to the ground. He looked back, noticed the first baseman already had the ball in his hand, and he tried to turn back around and slipped again.
Absolutely. And I think Reamer's mom's not going to be too happy with his pants.
No.
Having to do that launcher, get those stains out. As he's going to try and steal Cunningham fouls off the top of the dugout. Reamer started to steal a lot, and Cunningham swings and misses. It's 0-2 count now. It was the same hole Reamer was in. He ended up getting on base, though. Elkins, high. It's 1-2 now. Elkins is actually throwing the ball really solid.
He's been throwing it pretty well.
I don't think there's even been really a wild pitch yet.
He's had one ball pass by his catcher, but that was just – I mean, it was just a low pitch. It wasn't that bad, you know.
Yeah.
I think it just got between the catcher's legs and went to the wall.
Yeah, that's Harden buying on play. Wears 13, ironically, like James Harden did in his career. Swing and a miss there by Cunningham, and it's a strikeout for Elkins. That'll be a confidence builder for you. Elkins has his first strikeout. It's Lane Thompson up to bat, who played first base.
I love the sportsmanship in this league. Thompson just fist bumped Harden before his at bat, and we've seen that quite a few times.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a wild pitch here, and Reamer gets a free base essentially and goes to second. He's trying to find a grip there in that mound. Elkins is digging in that dirt trying to find a grip. High pitch there.
Another pass ball. Reamer goes three.
Reamer goes to third. So he's stolen second and third so far.
So it looks like their strategy of stealing bases has not changed with the recent rain.
Yeah, no, it hasn't. It has not. As Elkins gets a new baseball and his hand, this might help him a little bit. 2-0 is the count. Low, it's 3-0. If you get runners on the corners, could be a bit of trouble for the Mariners.
Yeah, with only one out, you know, you would expect maybe a delayed steal from first to try and get that guy from third in.
Absolutely. They'll call that a strike there by Thompson. I think that was a good way. Good-looking strike. Good on Thompson for just looking at it go. That pitch is low, and he'll walk. And it's a wild pitch trying to throw back home. It doesn't matter. Reamer ends up scoring. It's 1-0, and the Reds get the party started on the scoreboard. They're yelling at it. No, it doesn't matter, so it'll be 1-0. Up next here, we have Cade Pritchard.
I think the third base coach may have been wanting Reamer to tell one of the umps about home plate because when he stepped across, he kind of slipped.
Yeah, and it might have been that spray paint that Mr. Jennings sprayed on there. It could be that that made it a little bit slick, and it looked like he did slip, though, as Thompson ends up taking second base after that wild pitch. Another wild pitch. Thompson's going to take third. With one out, this is a bit of trouble now for the Mariners.
Yeah, you don't want to get into a deep hole. I mean, you know, you've got the hour and 15-minute time limit. You just don't want your own defensive innings to go too long so that you know you have a chance to get it back.
And absolutely, and that's kind of what happened to the Cubs a little bit. You know, they just kind of fell out of that game and with the Reds and just lost it. They ended the game just midway through the bottom of the fourth, I want to say.
Yeah. They just ran out of time on them, you know.
Yeah.
And generally, that's not something you have to worry about in baseball or softball. But here at the 12U level, with their time restraints, they've got to just kind of keep these games pushing along. So you really just can't get down by too much. So you know you have a chance to get it back.
And he walks Pritchard. So one out now. And stepping up to the plate was Zane Powell, I believe. Powell, I mean, he had a great game last game.
He did.
Made a spectacular catch, made a spectacular play at home as Pritchard's going to try and steal second, and he will as Harden hesitated.
Harden probably made the right decision there not throwing down to second, because you don't want that guy from third to come in easily.
Low again, it's 2-0. Excuse me, 1-1, I should say. Powell swung on. It gets by Elkins. Can he get to first? He can. He's safe. It looked like he got in his – it was Bishop. Bishop kind of just bumbled the ball. Or is that Bishop? Yes, I believe that is Bishop.
Yep.
He just bumbled the ball and just couldn't get a hold of it. And Powell just took advantage and got in. And he also gets his buddy Lane Thompson home. 2-0 lead now for the Reds. More runs than outs so far. Powell's going to steal, goes over, and it's going to be a very, very easy steal as Pritchard tried to go third, and now he's in a bit of a pinch here. Pritchard, he's just going to go back to third. Did you like that decision from Harden? Harden just held the ball, and he just let Pritchard run back to third. Did you like that decision from
him? It may have been the safe decision, but the left fielder was actually backing up third. He could have made that throw. Had he made a bad throw, the left fielder could have still fielded it and thrown it home for the out.
That's true. Britton Foster now up to bat here. 1-0 is the count now. 2-0 the score. Runners on second and third.
I thought they had Pritchard dead to rights, though, on that rundown.
Yeah, I thought they did, too. 2-1 is the count now. After that foul ball by Foster. Foster, that's a duck there, and they call that strike.
He tried to duck it. I don't think it was as in close as he thought it was.
Yeah.
He ducked down. Had he been stood up, it probably would have been around the letters. So it was probably a strike. That was a good call by the ump.
The ball speed died down as that one goes foul. 2-2 is the count. The ball speed died down on that pitch. And so I think maybe Foster just got a little confused on it as a nice pitch from Elkins.
Yeah. And dropped right into the zone.
Pitch. Oh, right off of Harden's mask there. I think it went right off the top of Harden's mask.
So the ump just called a foul ball. Foster thought he had totally whiffed on it, and he started to head back to the dugout.
I did see that. Foster right up the gut here, trying to get to first. They're going to get a run home, and Foster is safe. So 3-0 now is the score as Cade Pritchard gets home 3-0 with one out.
The ball is dying quickly in the infield.
Yes.
both defenses are going to have to rush on all ground balls, because the only reason he was able to make it to first there is because shortstop didn't rush up on it, and it just gave him enough time to make it there.
Yeah. The first of the Huffman brothers is up, as that pitch was high, and Foster ends up stealing. Elkins again will get a new ball. One out still. 3-0. Runners on second and third. Like we said, you don't want this game to get out of hand. It's already been 17 minutes into this game, and we're still in the top of the first with only one out. Elkins pitch high, and he swung on it, shockingly.
You know, he needs to leave those alone.
That's low. It'll be 2-1.
The Reds, their bats, they have very good vision for 12U, you know?
Yeah, they have
great vision. I mean, they take a couple swings at stuff up in the eyes, but for the most part, they are very disciplined.
Yeah, absolutely. Huffman swing, miss, 2-2. And I'd say they probably get that from Coach Cunningham. I'd say he definitely yeah. – He definitely has been like, listen, we're not swinging at those. We just aren't. With him working for the Barron County High School, I could definitely see that.
Yeah.
2-2 is the count. Fouled.
Right off of the end of the bat.
Hoffman trying to get a hit and keep this going. For the Reds, Elkins trying to get that second out. Hit there.
He's going to die.
Elkins trying to. He couldn't pick it up. Oh, my goodness. The ball just slipped and landed. Elkins couldn't pick up the ball as Huffman runs to first, and he gets there, and Powell goes home. 4-0 now in favor of the Reds. They just can't get anything to go for them whatsoever.
No. This is so far, this has not been the Mariners' day. The long grass is killing the ground balls. The Reds have basically only hit ground balls. And right there, you know, the ball gets tangled up in the grass. It gets slicked up by the grass, and you can't even get it over the first base on a dribbler.
No, he can't. Couldn't even pick up the ball for a moment there. Thought, I believe that's – is that – I'm trying to see who that is on third.
Is that Foster on third?
Yeah, I believe that is Foster. I thought he might go home.
Yeah, I thought he may have tried to take that chance. It was probably the smart idea not to.
Absolutely, especially with the way the bats have been and the way the Mariners have struggled with the wild pitches.
Yeah, I think them playing aggressively on the base path but kind of staying conservative enough to let the Mariners work for them, because that's kind of what's been going on. You know, they have a few hits, but most of this has been self-imposed damage by the Mariners.
Yeah. And I think Huffman would not have gotten there if it weren't for Harden missing that ball and it rolling to the top of the batter's box there as Huffman stole second base. It looked like he was just jogging. Cunningham wasn't too happy about it. Elmore swings into this one. It's popped up into the outfield. Can they make the catch? They do. Oh, he's going to go home. Trying to get there is Foster, and he does. He tagged up. Really nice, really, really nice job there. By Britton Foster tagging up, and even a better hit there by Elmore. 5-0 now is the score. This is the other Huffman brother. Swing and a miss there. The Huffman on base wanted to run there as it was a wild pitch.
Huffman was not sure whether he was going to go or not, so he made the right decision and went back.
When it, I mean, like, especially in this league, like, when kids get this antsy, they're like, oh, I need to go down that. I'm committed. I have to.
Yeah.
No, you don't. And Hoffman made the right call there. 1-2 is the count. Two outs. Elkins trying to finally put an end to this inning. Low, 2-2.
Hoffman goes this time. Steal,
and that was a smart decision. He didn't hesitate on that one.
Nope.
No hesitation on that one. He just went and he got there. 2-2 now is the count. Two outs. 5-0 the score in favor of the Reds. Low. It's going to be a full count now. 3-2, two outs.
Elkins is gonna want to get this one.
Absolutely, he will. Elkins is going to try to end the inning. Hoffman trying to extend it. Elkins fires this low. It's going to be a walk for Hoffman. So the two Hoffmans are on first and third. Up here is Smith, Raytheon Smith. Is that
Ryder.
Right? Ryder Smith, excuse me. Ryder Smith is up now. Two outs. Elkins is trying to get out of this inning. It looked like his arm is a little hurt there.
It may be. I mean, he's throwing a lot of pitches in this first inning.
Absolutely is. Smith swings and misses.
Daniel Hoffman was able to make his way to second.
Yes, he was. Runners on second and third yet again. Familiar scenario. Two outs. Low. 1-1. It's another strike there. It's 1-2 now. Swing, and it's fouled off there by Ryder Smith. Made solid contact. You started running to first.
He thought he had it. Yeah. I mean, heck, that's what you're supposed to do, though. You know, I mean, foul it off, hit it. You got to run to first until someone tells you to just come back.
Absolutely. 1-2 is the count still. Elkins pitches. Smith hits it. It's popped up. Is the sun going to affect it? It doesn't. That's going to do it. The hero of the inning is Jacob Ramey, who finally ends it after a 25-minute top of the first inning. We'll be back here on WCLU right after this. Hello and welcome back into Jackie Browning Park. My name is Reed Hoffman. Alongside me is John Brown. It's finally the Reds' turn to play some defense here. That was a really, really long and dragged out inning there, John.
Yeah, they, they did what they did Monday. They ran the base pass aggressively. They were disciplined at the plate. But really, most of the damage the Mariners inflicted on themselves. They made a couple errors. They had chances to get people out and then just weren't able to.
Yeah.
And then they had a couple pass balls that drove in some runs. So really, if the Mariners can clean it up and if they can have the time really to get these five runs back,
that's the big thing,
then they are still in a position to compete in this game. But with the time limit, with them being down 5-0, with that top of the first inning being 25 minutes, I think is what you said.
Yes.
They're going to have to pick it up, and they're going to have to pick it up quickly.
Yeah, absolutely they will. Lane Thompson getting warmed up on the mound for the Reds as Evan Cunningham is throwing from the catcher position. Looks good. Looks good throwing Cunningham does.
Yeah.
Really nice throw.
He's got solid form. He's absolutely got solid form at the plate too, though.
Up first will be Ethan Ross, who plays shortstop for the Mariners. He's going to bat first. Thompson deals it high there. Cunningham grabs it. I think another thing with it not being Reamer and it being Cunningham behind home plate is the size difference. Cunningham is a good amount taller than Reamer is, so he doesn't have to jump up and get the baseball.
Yeah, he's going to be able to cover more ground without exerting as much energy.
Absolutely will. First two pitches for Thompson are balls, so 2-0 is the count. Thompson, it is going to be called another ball.
Ross didn't agree with that last strike call.
Well, they called it a strike. Excuse me, 2-1. 2-2 now. Can't argue a swing and a miss, though.
No.
Nope. 2-2, Thompson looking for the first out. Won't get it yet. Full count. And they'll call that one a strike. Ross is not a fan of that call. He was jumping up and down like, oh, what could I have done there?
Yeah, it may have been a little low. But on Monday, we were talking about, you know, they have a little bit of an extended strike zone. So anything close, you're going to have to swing with two strikes.
Absolutely. And Elkins belts one right in between the third baseman and the shortstop. And they're going to make it where he only gets a single out of it as Huffman fielded it in left field. That was solid there.
That was a very solid hit.
Hit it right between that gap there. And it had enough speed on it where he wasn't going to get it. Up next here, Sawyer Bishop, the first baseman. And they're going to try to steal. Not in time there is Cunningham. I don't think he saw him start running.
No, his reaction seemed a little late.
Yeah, and maybe Bishop's big frame just got it in the way.
Yeah,
he
was a little
in
the way. But in terms of communication, you know, the shortstop and the second baseman or the dugout or the pitcher, somebody needs to be letting the catcher know that he's going to second. You can't just expect him to know, you know. Like, he's got a good view, but people miss things, especially when you're having to focus on catching the ball every play. Someone needs to be communicating and letting him know that they're going.
Great hit there by Bishop that gets by the center fielder, Elmore, and running the bases is Elkins. He's going to go home. Bishop was looking for more than a double. He won't get more, though. Really solid hit there by Sawyer Bishop, and that'll definitely help the cause for getting him back in the game. It's 5-1 now. Up next here, batting fourth is James Harden. Not the James Harden, but James Harden.
A James Harden.
Yes. What an unfortunate time. It's like Isaiah Thomas in the NBA, not being the best Isaiah Thomas of all time in the NBA. High pitch there.
Sawyer goes three.
Has to recover, and that was unnecessary. I think Sawyer Bishop's mother is not going to be happy with that as he slid.
Unnecessary slide.
Slid into third there. He's not going to be happy. Thompson delivers. Going to call it a strike. It'll be 1-1.
So one thing I can say about Bishop, generally when you see 12-year-olds as large as he is, they kind of move like they haven't grown or how they haven't learned how to use their bodies yet.
Yeah.
But Sawyer Bishop is quite fast to be so big at 12.
Absolutely.
He seems like an all-around solid athlete.
Absolutely. He is going to be a great basketball player, probably.
Could be.
With the speed and the size. Thompson delivers a pitch. Going to be a ball there. It'll be 4. Or is it 2-2? Well, it's just going to be 2-2. So 2-2 is the count. Thompson looking to get his second out. That'll be called a strike there, and Harden is struck out. I don't think he realized that he had three.
No, he was unsure.
Yeah, I was a little confused myself why he stayed in, and even Evan Cunningham threw up the three there. Up next here is Jacob Ramey, who ended the inning. 1-0. Another low pitch. It'll be 2-0 now. Thompson delivers. That'll be called a strike. Really nice pitch there. That might have been one of those ones where it's at eye level and then it drops. It might be a good one to swing at, that one.
Yeah, you may have to take a chance on that one.
Swing and a miss there from Ramey. It'll be 2-2.
That was a nice pitch. It had some drop on it. Ramey had already decided he was pitching or he was gonna swing before he knew that that ball was gonna drop. He had to kind of dip to try and get it.
Yeah. And Cunningham.
Run!
Oh.
It was a drop third strike, and everyone got a little excited there. Evan Cunningham ended up tagging him. So it didn't really matter that much. Three outs, one run. It's going to help the cause for a Mariners comeback. Let's see what the Reds can do next and how they respond. We'll be right back after this here on WCLU. Hello, welcome back into Jackie Brown Clark. Well, it was a very eventful first inning. Both teams get runs on the boards. The Reds more than the Mariners, though, with them getting five and the Mariners getting one. What's your biggest takeaway from that inning there, John?
I think my biggest takeaway is that the Reds are a very disciplined team. They play the game, just nicely. They play it to a T, I guess, is what you could describe it as. You know, they play aggressively, but they play smart.
Yeah.
And I think that reflects their coaching of Coach Cunningham, because he's the head basketball coach for Barron County's boys basketball.
Yeah.
And that is exactly the way they play basketball. They play aggressively, but they play smart all the time.
And discipline. And you're always punished if you don't play that way. So the Reds have one more batter until they go back to the top of the order. Elkins is going to remain in the game, still getting warmed up. He's got a dirt stain on his pants there. I think it was when he kind of went over and tried to grab the ball.
Maybe. It looks like he slid head first somewhere.
Yeah.
He must have had a twist on his slide into second or third or something.
Could have been what's going on with his arm.
Maybe.
Elkins scored the lone run for the Mariners, and is the pitcher. Is Wiley, I think that's how you pronounce it, Wiley is up at the plate. He swings and misses on that one. That was a high pitch, and he ends up swinging on it. Swung and hit on there.
Nice hit up the middle. Second baseman gets to it.
There. He got him. Really nice play by the second baseman, Parker Wallace. He had to turn all the way back around and recover it and throw to first to Bishop. And Bishop, he's got that long frame, and he just reached out.
Yeah, he was just able to reach, made the throw about 2 feet shorter.
Yep.
But that was a very nice backhand by the second baseman. And him being able to get it over to first in time was quite impressive.
So now it's Reamer up, who had the single that went over Jacob Ramey's head. Reamer hits it again to Wallace, and it'll be an out there for Bishop as he gets him. So Wallace has got two throws, two outs now, and kind of talking it up. Two outs very quickly. This could be a turning point now.
This is definitely what the Mariners wanted in the first inning.
It's what they need. What they need now with it being this big of a deficit.
Yeah. They're going to have to get out of these innings quickly so they can get back up to bat.
Absolutely. Cunningham swings on that one. I think he saw it about to drop. I think he saw the speed coming off of that one, and he just was like, all right, this is going to drop, and it did a little bit. He got a piece of it. It's a foul ball, though. 0-1 is the count. Two outs. Cunningham had to move out of that way of that one. 1-1. Like we talked about, you can have a wild pitch if you have nobody on base. That's fine. Cunningham had to move out of the way of that one, too. 2-1 is the count.
Yeah, that's probably a good idea by Harden to switch out balls. Two straight in the dirt is going to make it a little slick.
Yeah, especially with the rainy conditions we've had. And it is messy around home plate, we'll just say.
Yeah.
Elkins delivers. That one's high. It's going to be 3-1. Elkins either has been throwing it too high, too low.
He's been a little wild so far today.
Just got to figure it out. Elkins trying to end the inning. High. He'll walk. Up next here is the pitcher, Lane Thompson. Thompson, we talked about it at the break. He pitched really well.
He did pitch really well. He ended up striking out three players. He gave up two hits. One was a solid double into the gap and went all the way to the fence that drove in a run. But other than that, he was able to keep the damage off the board. You know, they stranded a runner at third.
Yep, absolutely. And Thompson, I believe, had a single last inning.
He was walked, but he was driven in.
Excuse me. Yes, he was. He got home. He was one of the runs, I should say. Thompson showing bunts again. He looks back at Bishop, and he throws to Bishop with Reamer on first. Doesn't get him, though.
Usually I would advise the runner at first, Reamer, I would advise him to dive back into the bag. But, these conditions, you know, maybe just trying to run back is your better option.
He's just trying to look out for his mom, that's all. As that one's a wild pitch, and Reamer will get to second with these. Just trying to look out for his mom and not get any stains on the pants there. Thompson, it once again showing bunts, backs off, and it's a ball, and Reamer will go to third. So two balls, no strikes, two outs, and a runner on third. Thompson trying to drive his buddy in. Switching out baseballs now. It's funny seeing the comparison of the new ones they have to the ones they have been using.
Yeah, the ones they've been using have pretty much turned dirt brown.
Thompson swings and misses. That'll be his second strike, 2-2. Coach Cunningham yelling out to Thompson, keep your head still, not liking the way he's moving before. And they'll call that one a strike. They called a ball. I thought that was a strike there.
I thought they had called a strike.
Huh. 2-2 remains. Low, it's full count. Three, two is the count. Elkins trying to end the inning. Thompson trying to get his buddy home. Elkins swung and foul tipped. Excuse me.
A little bit of a looper on that pitch.
Yeah, it was. Thompson got a piece of it. That's all that matters, though.
Thompson would love to give himself some extra cushion when he goes back up to pitch right here.
Absolutely, he would. Some pitcher-on-pitcher action. Thompson swung on there, and it's in between the first baseman and the second, and Reamer's going to walk home. What a great hit there by Lane Thompson.
That was a great hit. I thought the second baseman was going to make another play on that ball.
Yeah, I thought he was too. He came over, almost had it. It almost started curving a little bit.
Yeah, it curved a little away from his glove, ended up bouncing, you know, just right by the netting.
Really nice hit there by Lane Thompson. It's Cade Pritchard now who's up. And let's see, they're going to talk about it. Coach Cunningham is going to talk to the ump about something.
I guess it's about his courtesy runner for Thompson.
Maybe, yeah, maybe trying to get a pinch runner. But he ran the bases pretty well, I thought, in the last inning.
Yep.
But he will come out.
It's Wiley,
I believe,
coming in to run for him, I believe.
I believe that is.
So it's 6-1 now. They haven't switched it on the scoreboard yet.
Quiet end. Wiley, that is Wiley. He's gonna steal. He's gonna steal. It will. Yeah, it is 6-1. They should have switched it, but it is 6-1. The score. So it's a 5-run lead. Pritchard. Dropped. Wiley's gonna run to third easily. As Coach Ross is going to call time. Okay. So Jonathan Ross just asked the ump if the courtesy runner has to be the last runner out, which that in that case would have been Evan Cunningham. But the ump told Coach Ross that unless it's a pitcher or a catcher. I believe I got that right.
Okay, so, yeah, the reason there was confusion was because the last batter out would have been the catcher, but the catcher also gets a courtesy runner.
Yep.
So that essentially they would have been bringing in the catcher for the pitcher and then Wiley for the catcher. So instead you just switch the pitcher with Wiley.
Yeah. Pritchard, 1-1, two outs. Elkins allowed an extra run. There's a runner on third with Wiley. And Harden dropped the ball there.
That one looked decent to me. I guess it must have been a little outside that pitch.
Yeah. 2-1 is the count. Low. Wild pitch. Wiley thought about running. He gets back. And he dropped the ball. That was Ramey who dropped the ball. Do you think he would have had him if he caught that ball?
He probably would have had him, but the throw was a little high. Wiley slid in, so it just would have depended on was he able to get his glove down in time had he caught it?
Yeah. Pritchard takes the hit there. That was really solid there by Pritchard taking that hit. It almost looked like he leaned into it, though.
He may have a little. I mean, but maybe since, you know, he moved back towards the back of the box, maybe they count that as trying to get out of the way of the pitch.
Possibly. Next here is Powell. Zane Powell. Powell popped up. No, they won't catch it. And Wiley's going to go home.
No one was at first.
No one was at first either to get Powell. Everybody. The shortstop. Excuse me. It was Ross. Ross, Wallace, Elkins, and Bishop all went in there almost to try and catch it. And Bishop didn't stand his ground at first.
Yeah. I would say that was an error, but I don't even know who to assign the error to.
Yeah, I wouldn't know. Whew. I was stretched. That's called a strike, but they're going to steal. Powell's going to steal second. So 7-1 is the score, but they have it as 6-1. Maybe they are missing a run, or maybe we're missing something.
Yeah.
Foster, right down the line. It's going to go.
all the way down into left field, and Powell's going to score, and he's going to take the double. What a great hit there by Britton Foster. Nicely hit down there, down that left field line. Two runs score. It's 8-1, or in our case, it's at 9-1. Still trying to figure out if it is indeed one extra run. Huffman steps up to the plate, two outs. It's crazy because it looked like they had him dead to rights. Reamer was on, and Cunningham got out. Wiley and Cunningham got out, and, you know, from there it looked like he had Thompson dead to rights. He ends up belting one in between the first and second baseman, and from there they went on a run.
Yeah, it's been downhill for the Mariners since then, and, I mean, that's about what happened in the first inning. You know, they got the first out. They, you know, had a chance to strike out the next guy to get two outs, and then, you know, it just snowballed into five runs on him.
Absolutely. Huffman takes a strike there. It's 0-2 is the count now, two outs. Ump calls time.
We're 45 minutes into this game, so we've got about half an hour left.
Yeah. Not much time. Huffman belts this one, and he threw it back at the catcher, Harden. He threw his bat back at him, and it hit Harden right in the gut, I think it hit him. It was tough, though. So that's going to do it for the top of the second. We'll take a one-minute break, and we'll be right back after this here on WCLU. Hello, welcome back into Jackie Brown Park. I'm Reed Hoffman alongside Ms. John Brown. And John, it's time for your stat time.
So the Reds now have 9 runs in 2 innings, but they've also only had 5 hits. You know, and that's – they've been walked a few times. There's been a couple of errors. Someone got hit by a pitch. Really, it's just been timely hits that they've been getting to drive in these runs from unforced errors by the Mariners.
And we talked about it with when Thompson was up at the plate Parker Wallace is up to bat for the Mariners. We talked about it when Lane Thompson was at home plate, just how nice it is as a pitcher to have this kind of lead. And, you know, it's pretty nice. It takes all the pressure off of you, it almost feels like. And you have an 8-run cushion. You're still obviously going to pitch well, as that one is called a strike. So it's 0-2. But it's just really, really interesting.
Yeah. And he's been pitching really well so far today. Already has 3 strikeouts on the day.
Playing well. So every one of his outs come off strikeout. That's going to be a 1-2 there. It looked like he had him almost a little bit. Wallace swings on, misses, foul. 1-2 is the count. Bottom of the second, I should say. Excuse me. That was a bit of a floater there from Thompson. Just a misfire. It'll be 2-2 now. I will say, a huge difference I've seen in the pitchers. Thompson, it just feels like his mood doesn't change.
Yeah.
With Elkins, it feels like he gets I guess for good reason, for sure. But it feels like Thompson's mood never changes. So, like, so far, I haven't seen him change. Same when he played first on Monday.
Yeah.
Because that one's fouled down the right field line. It's a full count.
He's not been frazzled yet.
No,
but
not at all.
I wouldn't say he's been put in a situation that would be natural. You know, he's done a pretty good job dominating. And when you're dominating, it's easy to stay even keeled.
Yeah.
But for Elkins, you know, he's had a couple pitches. Maybe he thought the call just didn't go his way. And, you know, I mean, his team is down big. That's kind of gotten him off kilter a little bit,
yeah.
But he's just got to stay level, and really he's got to let his defense work behind him.
And it almost would to anybody, as Wallace has really hung up Thompson here. You can't get him off of him, and he finally does. That's his 4th strikeout. His 4th strikeout for Thompson.
So of the three games we've seen now, is he having the best pitching performance we've seen?
So far, yes. I would like to say so.
I would agree.
And strikeouts, you know, are a huge stat, especially in this age group. And he just keeps on throwing.
Yeah, he doesn't throw too many balls, but especially what he hasn't done that's been going on in 12U so far, as we've seen, is there's been a lot of wild pitches. I don't think he's thrown a single wild pitch yet.
Not yet. Not that might be the announcer's jinx, though.
Yeah.
There's nobody on base.
I
got
to find some wood to knock on.
0-2 is the count. Thompson looking for his fifth. He gets it. His fifth strikeout. And that one was at eye level, and it just fell. It fell beautifully.
That was a dirty pitch. He liked that one. He's laughing about it.
Yeah, Thompson cracked a smile and a little laugh, a little chuckle there. He's kind of happy about that one, and I don't blame him. Thompson pitches low. It's 1-0. He's playing well, though. He's playing really well. That's his fifth strikeout in not even two innings. He could get a sixth here. He's just playing so well. He's only let up one run. That's fouled off there by, Austin Jannigan, who plays left field. He struck out Jacoby Briggs, who plays center, on the last one. Swung on there, and it's hit down the left field line. It was too high for Pritchard to get, and they had to go down. And had to go down and get that one. That's Huffman. Ran over and get it. Only allowed a single. That's a good thing, though. Next here is Quay Cottrell, who is the ninth batter up, and he's the right fielder. As they're going to have a mound meeting, Cunningham is. Interesting. What do you think this could be about, John?
He called the he may just want to – he may just want to talk to his team and make sure they don't get into their head, really. I mean, they have such a big lead. You don't want them to get lackadaisical at all.
Absolutely. And, you know, now that I think about it, the Mariners could be at a disadvantage because they haven't played all week.
No.
And the Reds, they just played Monday. It's kind of like how their regular schedule is. I believe they play two times a week. I believe that's how it is. So, it's interesting. I think they're going to take Thompson out here. So, Thompson's going to come out and Powell – is going to come in. Maybe he could be savoring his energy for tomorrow, possibly.
He could be.
He could be savoring that. But other than that, I don't really know of a reason, possibly, for him to take him out.
You just hope that, if you're the Reds, you just hope that this doesn't backfire. You hope that you don't take out your guy who's been dominating and, you know, the next guy that comes up is having an off day.
Yeah. I believe Powell came in and I believe he came in for Cunningham, or did Cunningham ever come out?
He may not have come out in that game.
No, I guess he didn't. The only guy I would say who pitched as well in my book as Thompson is Cunningham. Now, Thompson pitched better in my book, but Cunningham, he pitched phenomenally in that first game versus the Cubs.
Yeah, he really did do some pretty good work. You know, I think Thompson, I have to give it to Thompson, though. Thompson has been the best pitcher so far that we've seen, and that's just purely based on control.
Yeah.
He was much better with his control than any of the other pitchers we've seen so far. And at 12, you know, having great control is really impressive.
Absolutely it is. So Powell is going to pitch versus Quay Cottrell. Well, now we can officially say that Thompson is out. All of his outs came. And they're going to call him up to second. What would that be about, John, there?
He must have balked.
Possibly. So now that Thompson is officially out of the game, as I was saying, all of his outs were strikeouts, which is really, really impressive. Powell's first pitch to Cottrell results in a swing and miss. Cottrell watched that one as it goes low. It's 1-1. Swing and a miss there by Cottrell.
For Lane Thompson's final pitching stats, he pitched 2 2/3 in, or 1 2/3 innings, gave up one hit or three hits, one run, one earned run, didn't walk anybody, and struck out 5.
Yep. And Powell gets the final out there as he strikes out Cottrell. Really impressive stats for Thompson. And we'll go to, I believe, the top of the third. 9-1 is the score. Time is running out for the Mariners. Let's see how they can recover. We'll be right back after this here on WCLU. Hello, welcome back into Jackie Brown and Clark. I'm Rudolph, alongside John Brown. We're at the top of the third. Time is ticking down. Our third and final game between the Braves and the Marlins, I want to say, is supposed to start at 8:15. So most likely this will be our final inning. What we were told is you will get a chance if you're the home team and you're losing. You'll get a chance. But if it were the other way around and this is the Reds' last chance, they would bat. And if they missed it, it's probably over by that point. Our time limit hasn't gone yet. There still is officially 12 minutes, I believe, in the game because it started at 6:45. Is that correct, John?
Yep.
So, thank you, Chris.
Thank you.
Elkins is going to remain in the game. He's going to get warmed up here. Elmore will be his first test. Elmore is the eighth batter. On deck is Huffman, the second Huffman, and Ryder Smith.
I'm starting to wonder if Elkins isn't at 100%. Because basically from the start of this game, he's been, you know, wobbling his arm around, and he was just stretching it a little bit, which is usually what people do. I mean, when they're feeling tight.
Yeah.
And that usually means, you know, you're kind of running low on stamina.
Yeah.
I wonder if they're going to think about pulling him or if they're just going to try and push him through the rest of this game.
So my thought process is, though, they did get a bye. Because that one's high. It's 2-0. They did get a bye. So knowing that they were the two best teams in this league, you most likely are not going to be the best team or the top two without multiple guys who can pitch. And based on our roster, everybody they have is healthy. They're all here. They all are ready to play. They're eager to play, I'll say. So it's interesting to me why they would do that. Maybe the coach doesn't know and Elkins wants to continue. As that one goes for strike, it'll be 3-1. 3-1 on the count. So maybe that's the case, possibly. But it just doesn't make sense to me because, especially, like I said, especially in this league or in any baseball league, you have to have good pitching.
Yeah.
You have to. You're not going to outscore your opponent. Like, not every single game you won't. Not like basketball.
Yeah.
Like, it's – no, you won't.
So, I just wonder if maybe that's just a part of his motion because some people do that. Some people wiggle their arm about a little bit.
Maybe just trying to keep it active, possibly.
Yeah.
But I noticed that just from kind of the jump almost, like – he did that a little bit, and I was like, okay. And then he started getting a little more active with it as that first inning went on where they were just getting not great. So they're having a conversation right now.
So he's getting close to his pitch limit. He's up to 78 pitches. They have a pitch limit of 85.
So this is his, so he'll have 7 more pitches. Low. There's number 79. Huffman with a 1-0 count. Elkins only has a few more pitches left. That also could be a factor. Maybe they're just trying to get the most they can out of Elkins and then kind of just be done after that, I guess you'd say. That maybe they did know about that. That's another thing. 1-1 is the count to Huffman. Low, 2-1. Trying to get to second for the steal.
Elmore is going to try to take third as well. Slides in. They all know they call him safe. Randy lost control of the ball. Good awareness by Elmore to know that that ball was going past. Really solid awareness. So they won't call him out. That'll be called a strike there. 2-2 is the count. It's a Huffman. They got him that time. I think Elkins only has a few more pitches left. Eddie 2, so he'll have three more pitches if the limit is 85.
So there, it looks like the umpire is going to allow him to finish this batter.
Okay. Swing and miss over Smith. So this either, will be his last batter.
Yeah. Elkins will be being replaced after this at bat.
That one goes foul. Smith gets really excited when he hits foul.
Yeah.
He gets really, really excited.
He's down the line quick when he touches the ball.
Absolutely. Chair's starting to get a little uncomfortable after how long we've been sitting in it.
It might be the little hill that we're on. I feel like my seat keeps, like, falling backwards.
Ah. So, I guess Smith didn't know the drop third strike.
No, he wasn't sure. He may not have been sure what the count was. It looked like he went and looked over at the scoreboard. Elkins will be coming out of the game now.
So, Landon Elkins' night is done. And I think they're going to have him play shortstop from the looks of it. He switches with Ethan Ross. Nine to one is the score. They need something to happen. They've got one out. A runner on third who could extend this to 10 to one. They're going to give Ross a chance to warm up. .754 here in Glasgow, Kentucky. The sun going down.
It's cooling off a little bit.
Yes. I wish it would. I can't believe I'm saying this. Wish it would warm up after that rain. Still,
still
a little chilly. Our shirts kind of got a little drenched, and that really wasn't the best, I'll say. Wasn't really that fun. So they will get ready to go here as everybody's getting set. So Elkins does end up taking shortstop. 85 pitches. Do you have any notable stats on Elkins' night tonight?
Well, he had kind of a rough night tonight. I mean, really, it was just with control. He walked. He walked four people, hit one, or actually, he walked.
Pitched to Wiley is low there.
He walked six and hit one. So, really, his control wasn't there tonight, and I think that tells most of the story of the game.
Yep. Yep, it will. Ross's first pitch to Wiley was low. Next one was high, and Wiley swung. He took the bait there. It's 1-1.
Yeah, and Wiley liked that one a lot.
Yes, he did. He was eager to swing it. But when you swing high like that, it's just going to go down into the dirt.
Mm-hmm.
That one was a dropper, and he gets home. Elmore, really good awareness. It was a wild pitch. And Elmore gets home, and they're going to call the ball game after that one. So I guess maybe that's why they kept Elkins in, knowing that they couldn't let up that 10th run. Maybe it was a first to 10. That could be another
maybe
another thing.
But that's going to do it. The Reds take down the Mariners 10-1. So Coach Cunningham and the Reds are going to take on the winners of this game tomorrow for the championship. And they'll have a chance at glory. We'll be right back here on WCOU.